All right, hello everyone. How are you doing? So one of the things that we're looking at is the forum recently went down and we don't know why. And it's kind of interesting that this would happen, after a weekend, Friday through Monday, of different problems. And it's also very interesting to work with something that you really don't understand at all, like technical stuff. So I thought this would be a good song to play for the leaders who are involved in this work that it's like the blind leading the blind. I thought this song would be appropriate. So this is for the leaders who are currently involved in all this internet stuff. And I'm hungry because, again, I haven't eaten. I need to start learning to eat. Oh, wait, I'm going to stop my share. I think I might have done the wrong kind of share. I get used to just sharing my screen for other purposes, too. Here we go. So this is the song.
As me, how long has it been? How long will it be? When will come the morning? Drive the night away. Tell me when will come the morning of a brighter day? Yeah, oh, patience, little sister. Little brother, patience, patience, yeah. Take each other by the hand, yeah, yeah. Oh, patience, little sisters, patience, little brothers, let us walk together. The promised land, yeah. There's a river to cross and a mountain to climb. Patience, patience. Oh, it's gonna take some time. Yeah,
we must walk. It's the only way, yes.
If we want to see that morning, yeah. Of a brighter day.
When I teach the Tao Te Ching, I typically come to you all with three versions of the Tao. But a friend named Judd sent me a fourth version. And this version is quite interesting. It's translated by a man named Victor H. Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. IR. And it is supposedly, I'm sure it is. I don't know why I said supposedly. It's based on some recently discovered manuscripts of the Tao known as the Ma Wang Tui or Ma Wang Tui manuscripts that are supposedly older than any other manuscripts of the Tao that we've had before. And it is somewhat different. In fact, the chapters are in different orders. You know, for example, you'll notice, you can see this. This says chapter 8, but then underneath it, it says in parentheses 45, because in all other versions, this would show up as chapter 45. I haven't finished, I kind of skimmed the foreword, which talks, or the preface, which talks about this. I haven't had time to sit down and read it. But this person who translated this said he swore he would never do a translation of the Tao. But then when this new manuscript was found, he felt that he needed to. So I'm going to bring this into it as well, and we'll see how things go. I'm still, I started this whole thing with Derek Lynn, and so I'm going to still begin with Derek Lynn. And today we're looking at chapter 31. So let me read what Derek Lynn has to say, and then we'll go from there. A strong military, a tool of misfortune. All things detest it, and it, of course, is the strong military. A strong military, a tool of misfortune, all things detest it. Therefore, those who possess the Tao avoid it. Honorable gentlemen, while at home, value the left. When deploying the military, value the right. The military is a tool of misfortune, not the tool of honorable gentlemen. When using it out of necessity, calm detachment should be above all, victorious, but without glory. Those who glorify are delighting in the killing. Those who delight in killing cannot achieve their ambitions upon the world. Auspicious events favor the left. Inauspicious events favor the right. The lieutenant general is positioned to the left. The major general is positioned to the right. We say that they are treated as if in a funeral. Those who have been killed should be mourned with sadness. Victory in war should be treated as a funeral. So some of this I don't quite understand. It might be helpful if I was Chinese or if I knew more about military strategy. I have a Chinese daughter, but that doesn't count. And I was in the Air Force for 10 years, but that didn't really give me the knowledge that I need either. So I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to look over here at the footnotes and see if I see anything that helps me. It says, the ancient Chinese observed that it was usually the right hand that wielded weapons. So they associated the right side with violence and the left side with peace. So again, knowing that now, it says auspicious event. You see, this still doesn't make sense to me because then it says auspicious events favor the left. Oh no, that doesn't make sense. That's the peace. Auspicious events favor the left. Inauspicious events favor the right, the violence. The lieutenant general is positioned to the left, and the major general is positioned to the right. That I don't quite understand. I mean, in our military, the major general would be higher than the lieutenant general, if I'm correct. And I would think you would want that major general to be on the left if the left is peace, and that it would be the lieutenant general taking orders who was in the war. So I'm just going to say I don't quite understand all that stuff. What we will do, look at a couple other translations and see if any clarity comes that's helpful to us. I'm grabbing Wayne Dyer next. Wayne Dyer says, weapons are the tools of violence. All decent men detest them. Therefore, followers of the Tao never use them. Arms serve evil. They are the tools of those who oppose wise rule. Use them only as a last resort. For peace and quiet are dearest to the decent man's heart. And to him, even a victory is no cause for rejoicing. He who thinks triumph beautiful is one with a will to kill. Remind me later to eat. Lately, I've been so busy, I've been forgetting to eat, and I can feel how hungry I am. Eating and showering, believe it or not, have been on the back burner for me this week. And my stomach's like, put down the book and go get food. So let me have a big drink of water. Maybe that will hold it off. Okay. He who thinks triumph beautiful is one with a will to kill, and one with a will to kill shall never prevail upon the world. It's a good sign when man's higher nature comes forward, a bad sign when his lower nature comes forward. With the slaughter of multitudes, we have grief and sorrow. Every victory is a funeral. When you win a war, you celebrate by mourning. So a lot of similarity. Again, then I have all that stuff about the right and the left and where the major general was and where the lieutenant general was, which is good because I don't understand that and I'm not sure it's useful to us. Let's go ahead and look at Stephen Mitchell. Weapons are the tools of violence. All decent men detest them. Weapons are the tools of fear. A decent man will avoid them, except in the direst necessity, and, if compelled, will use them only with the utmost restraint. Peace is his highest value. If the peace has been shattered, how can he be content? His enemies are not demons, but human beings like himself. He doesn't wish them personal harm, nor does he rejoice in victory. How could he rejoice in victory and delight in the slaughter of men? He enters a battle gravely, with sorrow and with great compassion, as if he were attending a funeral. Okay, so it's good. We're getting some consistency here. We'll look at the new one and see what it says. Again, this is Victor H. Mayer. And it's actually chapter 75 in his particular book. Now, weapons are instruments of evil omen. Creation abhors them. Therefore, one who aspires to the way does not abide in them. The superior man at home honors the left, which we now know is peace. On the battlefield, honors the right, which we were told was violence. Therefore, I'm wondering if the notes were wrong because this isn't making sense. Weapons are not instruments of the superior man. Weapons are instruments of evil omen, to be used only when there is no other choice. He places placidity above all and refuses to prettify. Looks kind of like the word pretty, prettify. Is that a word you guys know, Jacqueline, Ann? He refuses to prettify weapons. If one prettifies weapons, this is to delight in the killing of others. Now, one who delights in the killing of others cannot exercise his will over all under heaven. For this reason, on occasions for celebration, the left is given priority. On occasions for mourning, the right is given priority. So we'll go ahead and look up prettify just for the heck of it. So it's kind of like the word pretty. Yeah, make something appear pretty. So, you know, I guess it's, you know, like beautiful, you know, seeing weapons as something that could help me to achieve my goal. That would be to prettify it, right? I mean, you know, I would love it like you love something pretty or beautiful. Basically, when I look at the Tao today, I think this is really talking about an underlying attitude that we probably talked about last week because it's a very similar verse. An underlying attitude of valuing peace and stillness and emptiness above all else. And yet at the same time, since this is a book written for leaders, it recognizes there are things that leaders have to do. You know, like, you know, this, we'll use this past week since we've been under cyber attack. You know, I can't, in my job with the commitment I've taken on as president minister, I can't just say, well, I'm going to ignore that because I would rather sit back and meditate and contemplate and take a walk. You know, I value peace over having to go to war, technically, with files and people I've never met, who never will meet. I couldn't do that. It wouldn't be in accordance with an unspoken contract that I have with everyone involved with Awakening Together when I take the role of president minister. You know, when you take a role like that, it is an unspoken contract with the board of directors, with the member board of trustees, with all members, with all users of our website, of our sanctuary, of our audios. You know, there's like this unspoken contract. If you're president minister, people kind of expect you to take care of things. And if you accept the job of president minister, Jacqueline, you need to know that. Your personal preferences, even if it's a personal preference to sit back and meditate, are not in the front seat. Your commitment to this role is in the front seat. And so you have to put down your personal preferences and do whatever has to be done. But this is talking about the attitude. You know, when you put down, you know, whatever those personal preferences are and you do whatever has to be done, the attitude is an attitude still that values peace more than anything else. And that's really important. Because if you don't value peace more than anything else, if you value, for example, getting the website back up, getting the forum back up, getting whatever it is done, you may lay into people who appear in one way or the other to be obstacles to your goal. And of course, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the long story. In fact, with my mind, to be honest, I've already forgotten part of the story of this weekend. You know, so if I even tried to tell you the story of this weekend, I'd mess it up. So I'm not even going to try. But I will tell you a number of people have been involved. And a wrong-minded attitude could have seen a number of those people as obstacles to accomplishing the goal. You know, I think that attitude is the weapon that needs to be abhorred. That's making my friends my enemies. I picked the song Patience, and of course this is before we read the Tao, but I picked the song Patience because I do understand what's going on right now, and I do understand that there's a temptation maybe to see someone else as not doing their job, not keeping their commitments, you know, whatever. And in the song Patience, not only does it talk about patience, but it talks about walking forward together, holding hands. And the song uses the language brothers, sisters. You know, that song really represents this underlying attitude of we're walking together in the same direction to accomplish this goal, not we're fighting each other and whose fault is this and who did what, right? I mean, as I said, the form is down. To be completely honest, I have no idea why, nor do I know anyone right now that has any idea why. Nor do I know what's going to happen next at all. And yet, with all of that happening, my inner heart must remain with peace and love. Even if I choose to take the most drastic measure I can think of right now, which is to contact our webmaster and have him remove the form directory from our website entirely. You know, I have to do that with peace and love. It just, you know, it just has to feel like, and that's what this is talking about. Like, that would be the most drastic measure that I could take as president minister going to, that I can think of right now. The most drastic measure that you can take, which, you know, affects a lot of people, all those people who have their journals in there, right? All those people who use it on a daily basis to help them with their contemplation. That's kind of like going to war. And this says that sometimes you have to take the most drastic measures. But when you do so without celebration. You do it with an attitude of mourning, like you're going to a funeral. But the interesting thing is, it says if you have to do it, you do it. We talked last week, sometimes employees have to be fired, right? It's the leader's job to do what has to be done. Yeah, like Arjuna going to war. And if I do end up taking this drastic measure of removing the forum, I will send you all a very sad email explaining that I just felt like I had no other choice and I'm very sorry. And we'll go forward from here and see what we do next. I mean, what else am I going to do? You know, what else am I going to do? But I can't be upset at anyone. I can't. And I can't. I can't allow that for myself. I can't be upset with anyone. Not people I know and not people I don't know, have never met and will never meet. I can't even be upset with them. To do that is to betray myself. Last Wednesday night, I gave a teaching, which Don and I were kind of giggling about yesterday. But the teaching was Nisargadatta. No, the teaching was Nisargadatta, but I used a quote from the Seven Steps, and I don't know for sure whose quote this was. In fact, do I have the Seven Steps nearby? I probably do. I was right here with it this morning. Yeah, but I may have wandered off with it. Oh, no, it's over here with the stack of bills I have to pay today. I have a huge stack of bills because I have three houses that I now pay bills for. The retreat house, my house, and my mom's house. So let's see if we can find this. I'm in the 1-1s, I believe. 1-1s. I might not find it, but we'll give it a try. Yeah, looking for a quote sometimes in here is like looking for a needle in a haystack. I'm looking for the certain words.
Regina?
Yeah.
It's quote 1112.
Oh, thank you. That really helps. Oh, and guess what? I was on that page. I would have found it in just a second, but thank you. Okay, so 1112. Here we go. Previous impressions are destroyed only by intense self-effort. Now, of course, this is talking about conditioning. That's what it means by impressions, right? Previous impressions are destroyed only by intense self-effort. Even if the mountains were pulverized and the world's dissolved, one should not give up self-effort. And that's the self-effort for peace, inner peace. That's the self-effort for knowing myself as the peace, not being a person at peace, knowing myself as the peace. Let's go for a walk. Let's see. There you go. There are the mountains. You guys see the mountains, right? Now, can you imagine sitting here and watching those mountains suddenly, you know, like maybe asteroids are coming down or something, and the mountains are being pulverized? Like you're sitting there watching fire fall from the sky, destroying those beautiful, peaceful mountains. And your focus is contemplating yourself as the peace, as the unaffected, and you don't even let that get in the way. You know, let's go look out another window. There's another mountain that could be pulverized for us. I would go outside, but it's kind of windy, and I think you would just hear that. Oh, that mountain's a little further away. It's harder to see. You know, things look smaller on here than they do in person. Yeah, they look bigger in person, but it's just like with a camera, right? You put a lens up to it, and everything gets smaller. Well, you know, Don and I were laughing because I talked about this quote last week, and I talked about the intensity of this quote. The uncompromisingness of this quote, even if the mountains were pulverized and the worlds dissolved, one should not give up self-effort. You know, that's pretty uncompromising. Like, it, you know, it kind of says, you know, it doesn't matter what the heck's going on at all, right? At all. I mean, you know, we got some serious stuff going on with people in this room. This doesn't say that's an exception. Right? It doesn't matter what's going on. Your job is to see that you are the peace. You are the peace. You are the unaffected. And so Don and I were laughing at the fact that, you know, in effect, the website was kind of being pulverized this weekend. You know, we were commenting on how Regina was getting the opportunity to practice this. But everything is the opportunity to practice it. You know, just every moment of your life. And, you know, in a way, that's what these are about, because these are talking about, you know, going to war. First of all, it's saying, you know, if you don't have to, you don't. You know, if you don't have to take drastic measures, if you don't have to fire an employee, you don't fire the employee. You retrain her, right? You talk to her. You work with her. You help her to get better at her job. You know, you don't just run out there and fire people. You know, that would be like war. That, you know, that's abhorred. You know, that's abhorred is what these are saying. But sometimes you got to fire somebody. Sometimes you tried and, you know, it's just not working. And you have to fire somebody. But you don't see it as a victory. You don't brag about, you know, oh, I fired so-and-so the other day because she was this, you know. You just don't take that attitude. It's about that inner attitude. Basically, the leader does what she has to do, but her heart is always with herself, peace, which is everyone else's self as well. And again, with this website thing, it doesn't even matter that some of the, quote, challenges that we've faced, you know, like hackers, for example, are people that I have never met and will never meet. That doesn't give me permission to hate them or to have a grievance against them. That's still going to war in my heart. And guess what I go to bed with every night? My heart. And what do I wake up with every morning? My heart. You know? I remember I once said something in a teaching. It was a long time ago, but it's just one of these things that stuck with me. And I was like, yeah, that's true. What I said, and I can't remember what I was talking about. I don't remember anything around it. But what I said was, I'm just not willing to leave the beach for that. You know, and what I was talking about was like this feeling is, you know, like setting back, you know, back before I was on the spiritual path, You know, sitting back on the beach in a long chair, just relaxed with both the sun and the breeze. And that was about as peaceful as it got, right? Well, I want to stay on the beach no matter what. Even if the mountains are pulverized. That's what this quote says. It's a pretty strong quote. And again, I think that's what this Tao Te Ching is about, even though it has some strange stuff in here about major generals and lieutenant generals and where they should be positioned. That was probably really important to a king. Weapons are the tools of violence. All decent men detest them. So instead of weapons, I'm just going to talk about judgments. You know, those judgments you have towards another person that might be hacking your website or might not be available when you need him to be available. Yes, you know, other people have lives too and other priorities, right? And sometimes when your website is going down and you need one person to do something for you to save it, that person's not available. And yet even that can be a temptation to go into strong judgment, which is, if you think about it, not even logical. You know, is everybody on the planet Earth supposed to be sitting around available for you when you need them? You know, so that judgment that we fire out of our minds, that I'm going to call that the weapon right now. Those are the weapons. Those are our missiles, right? Weapons are the tools of violence. All decent men detest them. What that really means is I'm not interested in using that weapon at all. I have no desire in my heart, since we're talking about weapons, I'll say, to harshly judge anyone, right? No matter what they do, even if they take out our website. Just not interested. We'll figure out what to do without a website, without all those audios. I mean, we love our audios, right? We love having all those audios on there, but do you guys think that they're absolutely required for our awakening? Do you think that maybe if awakening really is our priority, if our entire website, including all of the audios, were completely destroyed and there was no way we could get them back, that we could gather together and figure out what's next? Of course we could. Of course we could. Sure, we like those things. But, you know, we gotta keep our heart in the right place. We gotta remember what this is about. And we gotta stick together holding hands, you know, like that song says. So weapons are the tools of violence. All decent men detest them. Now, this next sentence makes a lot of sense. It was only in Stephen Mitchell's translation, but it makes a lot of sense. Weapons are the tools of fear, right? I mean, I bet if you sit down and do a root cause inquiry under any time you're attacking someone in your mind, you'll be able to find a fear in yourself. I bet that's 100% true, and there's never, ever an exception. You know, so yeah, Jay's giving us a thumbs up. So what's really going on with us is we're afraid. You know, we're afraid of looking bad, maybe, right? And why are we afraid of looking bad? Because we really don't think we're as good as everyone else, and now the whole world's going to figure that out. That's what we think, right? So another way to look at this is that whenever I harshly judge someone in my mind, what I'm unconsciously doing is reinforcing fear in myself and reinforcing it, because that's what I'm really believing underneath the judgment. It's not even about guys in Saudi Arabia or the Philippines or Scottsdale, Arizona. Those were the IP addresses that we saw hacking on our website. It's not even about them. If I'm harshly judging these people I've never met and never will meet, how could it be about them? It's about me. my fears. And those fears are completely 100% irrational, whatever they are. Because even if the mountains are pulverized, I can still remain aware of the self. That means there's no valid fear at all. All fears are based on a lie. The question is, do you want to go in, discover the lie, uncover the lie, and see it as a lie? Right? And that's a much better use of your time than hating someone you've never met and never will meet. Or harshly judging them. I don't know if you'd hate them. I think you can harshly judge without hating, but you know, maybe not. I don't know. I guess we'd have to look at what's the difference between harshly judge and hate. I'm not interested in doing that right now. Either way, it's a weapon. And either way, it's coming from my own fear. So weapons are the tools of fear. A decent man will avoid them. Now this says, except in the direst necessity, and if compelled, will use them only with the utmost restraint. So if I say that weapons are harsh judgments, am I now saying that a harsh judgment may sometimes have value? I'm going to say clear discernment. I'm just going to use different words. Clear discernment that may appear as harsh judgment to others. Yes, like firing someone. Again, in my heart, it would be a huge error for me if I have mental harsh judgments towards this person. You know, she's lazy, she's stupid, she never could do anything. Like, that's going to be my error. But there may need to be this harsh, I don't know if harsh is the right word, firm, strong, clear ability to discern that this has gone as far as it's going to go and I need to take a step that I would prefer not to take. Right? So hopefully you guys can hear that I'm not really saying that harsh judgment sometimes should be used, but I am saying there's something very, very similar that I don't quite have a word for, you know, that yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just have to face the facts. This person's not changing. This thing has to be done. You know, they used to have a term, and I think it maybe still gets used occasionally, called tough love. It would be very akin to that. And maybe it's just tough acceptance. I accept that, you know, I've done everything I can to try and retrain her and help her to see. I accept she is not changing. I accept this is not in our best interest. And I accept that I have to fire her now, right? Harsh acceptance maybe is what we'll call it instead of harsh judgment. Now, actually, somebody is saying something right now that may not be true, so I need to clarify that. Jay has just typed in that the forum malware virus seems to be affecting mobile devices and certain people's computers. I actually see that as not true at all. As not true at all. Right now, the form is not coming up on most computers and most devices. For some reason, Jay can get on his computer and we don't know why. That's the facts. For anybody to think, I mean, I in no way think that there's a virus on my iPhone. I think that's pretty close to impossible. So, but I can't get the form on my iPhone. So for people to think that they have a virus on their iPhone could cause unnecessary panic. Now, I just demonstrated what we're talking about. I spoke with a very harsh, very firm voice to put a stop to a rumor immediately before it spread and caused unnecessary fear and panic. That's an example of what we're talking about, right? And I don't have any ill feelings towards Jay for typing what he typed, but I had to correct it. Yeah, she says it didn't feel harsh. Guess it depends on who you are. You know, it was strong. It was unyielding. I wasn't like, oh, well, I kind of think maybe, as I twirl my hair like Jacqueline sometimes does. It was firm. Like, this statement that was just made in the room is not true, right? Yeah, and that's how it is. We don't know what's going on, but I'm certain that it's not that people are getting viruses from the form. The form is down and we don't know why. That's what's going on, okay? Two things. The form is down and we don't know why. End of story. Anything else at this point is purely being made up in imagination and belief. So weapons are the tools of, and I'm hungry. That's a fact. And when I get done here, I'm going to go eat. I don't care if the website goes down. I might even pee. I might even pee. Because literally, the last few days, I've not been peeing, I've not been eating, I've not been drinking, I've not been showering. And people know this about me. They know that I can get so caught up in what needs to be done that I can forget to eat. You know, I'll skip my showers. Anybody who knows me knows this. But my belly, I'm a little lightheaded now. My belly's saying, hey, 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 hey. So when I get done here, I'm going to go do those things, and then we'll see what happens next. I'm going to at least pee and eat. That's the only two I really, and drink. That's the only things I really have to do. I did actually shower today. I didn't yesterday. I usually shower at least every other day, even when every moment of my time is being used up by work. Weapons are the tools of fear. A decent man will avoid them except, here's another example. Except in the direst necessity. Let's say that Jay had typed something else that I felt might not cause fear. It's still inaccurate, but it might not cause fear. I actually wouldn't have commented on it. You know, I can allow people to say something. In fact, I do it all the time. I allow people to say things that I know aren't true, and I don't comment on it because it doesn't matter. You know, it's not my job to go around correcting people all the time. That would help to make me the most annoying person on the planet Earth, I'm sure, but that's not my goal. So I allow people all the time to say things that I know that they're wrong, but it's not important, and I just let it be. But that is important, I thought, with all these people sitting here, right? And with what's happened over the weekend. So I commented because it was important. Sometimes we have to know the difference. Will somebody go get me a glass of water? Sometimes we have to know the difference between what's important and what's not important. Yeah, as Jay says, sorry for the use of the word virus. No intention to create fear. We don't know specifically what it is. And that's the truth. And actually, I'm certain it's not a virus on our phone. I'm certain of that. You know, so it's something else. Like I said, the iPhone, to my knowledge, the iPhone has never had a virus. So why would today be the day that it starts? You know, it's just, right? This doesn't make sense. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we all have viruses. Maybe the iPhone got its first virus today from our website. Who knows? Yeah, no. Jacqueline says no. And I'm sure it's not. It's true. I'm sure it didn't. But if it did, that'd be like the mountains being pulverized. And what are we going to do? Right? I mean, we may think we need our phones, but do we really? You know? I remember I lost my phone once hiking. What happened was I slipped and fell. And when I fell, my backpack fell, and I was literally right on the edge of a mountain. And the assumption was, I mean, all we know is the phone was gone, but the assumption was that it fell out of my backpack and slid down the mountain. What we really knew is that when we got back to the retreat center and we looked at my backpack, there was no phone. Do you know who the coolest person was about the whole situation? Everybody else says, you got to go find your phone. You got to go find your phone. I'm like, no, I don't. Of course, finally, I can't remember if we went back and looked for it. Do you remember, Jacqueline? Were you there? This was in Colorado Springs. I don't even remember if we went back and looked for it. All I know is eventually my phone turned up. It had gotten into like a ripped area in the backpack. It was like in between the lining and the outside. It was in there the whole time. But what really stood out to me was how important everybody thought a phone was. I mean, you know, you guys all know that 10, 15 years ago, none of us had those phones, right? And we were fine. Yeah. Our brains were actually probably better off, to be honest. We were probably better off. I mean, you used to know a ton of phone numbers by heart. How many do you know by heart now? All right. Yeah. So we have to know the difference between what's important and what's not important. And part of our problem is we think way too many things are important and we're willing to go to war for them. And we're wrong. We're wrong. So weapons are the tools of fear. A decent man will avoid them except in the direst necessity, and if compelled, will use them only with the utmost restraint. Peace is his highest value. Peace is his highest value. Not getting the website up, although we have to get the website up, or not finding the phone, although maybe we do have to go look for the phone, you know. Who knows? But I wasn't even going to go look for it. I thought, no, I mean, I don't know what you do when you lose your phone, but I'm willing to find out, you know, go call somebody and say, hey, I lost my phone. What do I do now? Yeah, there was a lot of stuff on it, but you know, gotta be a way to continue living without a phone. There's gotta be a way, you know? Peace is his highest value. Oh, listen to this sentence. If the peace has been shattered, how can he be content? Have you ever, ever been content and upset at the same time? I've seen people lie and say they were, but you knew they were lying. I mean, if you're telling the truth, have you ever been really angry at somebody and content? Have you ever been really afraid and content? Laughing and crying at the same time, that happens. But I'm talking about an emotional experience. Can you have the emotional experience of harshly judging someone and feel content, a different emotion, at the exact same time? Right? I mean, I can speak firmly to someone and feel peace at the same time, but see, speaking firmly is an action, it's not an emotional experience. Can you be emotionally, emotionally upset and at peace at the same time, content at the same time? So what this is saying is if you allow yourself to lose the peace, you're the one who suffers. That's what this is saying. Peace is his highest value. If the peace has been shattered, how can he be content? And I love this sentence too. Says his enemies are not demons, but human beings like himself. I actually perceive everyone, even the people I've never met and never will meet, as my friends. So I have to say, my friends are not my enemies, no matter what they do. All right? My friends are not my enemies, no matter what they do. That's an inner attitude. And it doesn't mean necessarily that I, continue doing business with someone who has repeatedly shown me they're not going to keep their commitments and they're doing, you know, shoddy work, right? I mean, sure, I'm not going to not do business with that contractor and go pick another contractor, but we're talking about an inner attitude. Do I have to have a grievance against that contractor, that first contractor? No. I just accept that, he doesn't show up. When he does, he only half does the work. And it'd be better to go get another contractor. And sometimes people can't separate the two in their mind. You know, they can't separate the, you know, firing this guy and hiring another guy, and grievances. And that's a place you've got to be able to find. It is there. You can do what you have to do without holding grievances. And I don't know how to tell you to find it. I suppose just doing root cause inquiry on every grievance that comes up and looking at it over and over again and meditating as much as possible. But one day you land in that sweet spot where you have that discernment to be practical without the judgment that causes the grievance. His enemies are not demons, but human beings like himself. He doesn't wish them personal harm. I find people do this even in spiritual ways. His karma will get him. He doesn't wish them personal harm. Bless everybody. Right? You bless the world and you bless yourself, right? Nor does he rejoice in victory. How could he rejoice in victory and delight in the slaughter of men? Now, we're not slaughtering men, At least I've never had to do that yet. But I have had to fire people. And you don't rejoice in that. But you do it, right? You just accept this is the situation. Accept this is your job. And accept that you have to do it. He enters a battle gravely with sorrow and great compassion. Because what everybody is doing here, unless they are egoless, is the same thing. They're working from a limited, selfish, self-centered point of view. Every human being you meet is looking at you and the whole world like this. That's all they know. That's all they can see. That's all they have to work with. You can have compassion for that if you really look at that. Right? Every single human, except for those who are egoless, which are a few, right? Every single human that you work with is working from a limited, self-centered, selfish point of view, and they can't even help it. That's all they can see. That is the world to them. So you can have compassion for them as you're letting go of your self-limited, self-centered, selfish point of view. He enters a battle gravely with sorrow and great compassion as if he were attending a funeral. And I think it's lunchtime. Goodbye, y'all.